I mean, a big luxury car, they don't, I don't like them. I still don't like them. I don't even like limousines. They're beautiful, but that's for other, that's just not my thing, you know. Because I remember telling my friends, I said, if I was rich, I wouldn't even ride, I wouldn't even own a limousine. I'd drive myself in a Camaro or something, Mustang or Charger. I love Chargers. That's all I want. I wouldn't even pull up in a limousine. But that's just, so I never really cared about pride. But I saw God hated it. I said, but the enemy is sneaky. Pride can exist in other ways. And I said, I don't ever want it to be a problem. So I said, I hate pride. When people are shy, somebody said that was another form of it. You don't want to be seen because you don't want to be embarrassed. So I said, The perfect love casts out fear. And to cast out fear, it casts out pride too, because pride and fear is connected. They work together like love and faith.
Shy is like doubt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And so when you get in pride, then everybody get in pride, they always get in fear. And whoever get in fear, they're in pride too. Or they look up to it. That's why false prophets they work to get people in fear. They drain them of the word, and they get them in fear, and they'll do anything. The pastor can do anything he wants, and they'll go along with it. Or the leader, or whatever it is, the cult leader, or whatever it is. They drain the people of the word of God, and then they get them in fear, and they're easy prey, then they rip them off. When people get in pride, they're the opposite of what God is. Pride is opposition. When he gave me a definition, he said pride is opposition. And the opposite of his love, the opposite of his wisdom, the opposite of his glory. And then they do whatever Satan will do. Even if they say they don't like him, if they're in pride or lust or greed, they do the same thing. They do the same works, because the world loves its own. And they have the same problem with Jesus, God's people, and the Jews. Everybody that side with the world, they always have a problem with the life of God, the people of God, and the Jews. And they don't want anything to do with either one of them. So when Christian people get in pride, their first love is gone. And there is a representation of every church in that Jesus addressed, all the seven churches. And I found one for the Laodicean church, and that's Jeremiah chapter 42. This is a good picture of a lukewarm bunch of believers. They came to Jeremiah asking him, saying, whatever you tell us to do, we're going to do it. Now, Jeremiah had told them that Israel would be taken and the people would go into Babylonian captivity. Well, it had happened, but they were still in the land. And they came to him saying they'll do whatever he say do. And then after 10 days, the Lord sent him back with the answer. And God was going to let them stay in the land, just like the people now. If you're saved now, you get to go in the rapture so that God can judge the earth. He don't want to judge it with Lot on board. He wants us out of the way. He wants his seed, his people out of the way so he can judge the world. And people are going to get saved during tribulation. But the lukewarm church, they'll be given strong delusion to believe a lie, according to Thessalonians. Because they rejected God's way. God's been working with them, and they won't budge. Now, in Jeremiah's day, when you study it, you have to. This is a scripture you got to study for yourself, because it's so much information there in Jeremiah 42. But when he said, now don't go down to Egypt. And that was a problem, because they had already decided they were going to Egypt. That's the, why didn't they go somewhere, not Egypt? You were a slave in Egypt. Don't go back to Egypt. He said, if you go to Egypt, you're going to die. And you know, he told them what would happen. He went through his whole discourse, told them not to be afraid of Nebuchadnezzar. And he was not going to bother. You're going to get to stay. All he had to do is trust his word, but they wouldn't do that because their first love was gone. They didn't trust God anymore. They saw that God was with Jeremiah, but they wouldn't receive the Lord because they didn't. You can't receive the Lord if you don't receive his love. And you can't receive his love if you don't have his love in you, there's no life. So all they had, and it started with the most proud men, and they incited the crowd against Jeremiah. And then they took Jeremiah to Egypt. And that's how Jeremiah ended up in Egypt. And down there, he prophesied that Nebuchadnezzar, he built a plot of stone, he built some stones on a plot of land. And he said, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come and put his throne on this plat. And right where he put those stones, Nebuchadnezzar came, killed the Egyptians, took them as slaves in their sight, and put his throne right there by the brick kiln where they used to make bricks before they got delivered. And then they took them he killed most of them and took the rest to Babylon. Just like Jeremiah said. Just the lukewarm church, how many times have they heard of the love of God? Don't love the world. You know, they heard the same message. But they did something else. They went another route. The Lord warned them. The Holy Spirit warned them. You know, stop shacking up. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. They won't listen. And they do what they want to do anyway. And so when they're left behind, they're not going with us. The lukewarm church will be spit out. They're not going. Because what they know what they've done. But everybody who loves God, this is where the I have been praying about the 10 virgins. 5 had oil in their lamps, and 5 let the oil run out. Well, that's just the love of God. And I was thinking about it yesterday. And I remember that in Isaiah chapter 8. He talked about this. How that there was no light in the people in chapter 8. The end of chapter 8. Here it is. Okay. I'll begin at verse 18. This is Isaiah 8, verse 18. He said, let me back up a little bit more. I'll start at verse 11 and read down. He said, for the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. See, if there's anybody that's in fear, they're already wrong. He says, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, before a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense, to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. See, when you're in the fear of the Lord, you're looking for his return. Anybody looking for the Lord's return, they have the fear of the Lord. They have a healthy fear and respect of the Lord, and they love him. You know, and Dave, you love looking for the rapture. You love God. he said, continuing, and many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples. People that love God, they can see what others don't. He said, seal the law among my disciples, the living love of God. He said, and I will wait upon the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. When the Lord hides his face, he basically spit him out of his mouth. He's hiding what he's doing from his enemies. from the proud. He said, I will wait upon the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children, you know, he called him Jacob instead of Israel. Jacob meant deceiver. But Israel, you know, that's Zion. You know, he said, and I will wait upon the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwell in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? Then he asked another question. For the living to the dead? You're going to ask a dead man about the living? And then he answers, he said, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. No oil in their lamp, no light in them. The five foolish virgins had no light. They let their love go away. Their love for God, their love for man, their love for life. And the Lord recently taught me that the enemy don't just try to tempt us against God, against Jesus Christ, and against the Holy Spirit, against his word and his will. But he also tries to get us to defy and work against life, the result of obeying God's word. One of Satan's temptations is he wants us to hate life, the life of God. He wants us to love the worldly way. The worldly way is not life, but what happens as we obey God is life. And so anybody that John explains that when people love the world, they become the enemy of God. People don't just love the world and still love Jesus. Their love for the world starts working against their love for God until it's all gone. There's no light in them. Jesus is not just our Savior. He's also not going to let any sin go in heaven. He's going to protect heaven. Daniel said, prophesied that there would be an end of sin. So anything that will keep sin going is going to be put in hell, going to be destroyed. And one of the videos I was watching, when Jesus was, they showed the Lord receiving and rejecting people. And then the angel said, no mistakes are made. God don't make mistakes when it comes to, he's looking at what's in people's hearts. And if they have the world in their heart, over time they'll turn into something. Just like, you know, when Adam started out, all he did was ate a fruit. But 1,500 years later, the thoughts of men were only evil continually. So sin multiplies itself, and the hatred grows against God, and the passions of the world, they increase, and they want to put the things of God last, just like the world. So he said, to the law and to the testimony, verse 20, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them, and they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry, and it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. They went from loving the world to cursing God. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. This happened in Isaiah's day, but this is also a tribulation set scripture. The same people that missed the rapture, because they love the world, they're going to be given a lie to believe from religious leaders, and they're going to buy it because there was no light in them. They let their oil get away. And the things of the world. See, tares are sown among the wheat. Tares, they actually got saved, but they always go back. And John said that God's people won't sin, don't sin. His people don't. They are lawing to themselves. They love God, and they stick with it. But some people, the people that go back to the world, no matter what happened, no matter how wonderful things were, they were going to go back. It doesn't make sense, but it happens. And then the Lord has to do. Chapter 8 is a very important key chapter. And Isaiah, Mary said he's the eagle eye prophet. He's the eagle eye prophet. But, you know, and I'm for everybody. I want everybody to get saved. I want everybody to love, but that's just not the way it's going to work out. And because Daniel said the wicked will do wicked. They made a choice, and they chose wrong. They chose God. They chose the way of the world. But the glory of God, it comes to change. A revival broke out at that church Henry Gruber was at, so people can be corrected. But in the state that they were in at that time, they wouldn't live. But they believed, and the revival broke out, and it stayed that way. Sometimes people have bad information, and they don't know how to fight. But the wicked will do wickedly, no matter what happens, no matter how far they go, no matter how wonderful things are. If they don't get rid of the love for the world will cause them to stray. But we'll pick up in the glory of God next week. This is if the Lord don't come before me, which he might. You know, I've never faced a time. I say any day the Lord might come snatch us away. He's coming at a time that people won't think he's coming. I don't know. I've never been raptured before. So, I mean, you ever think about it, what it would be like, you minding your own business, and you're caught up in the glory of God, and you see the earth disappear. And you know, you see your loved ones, everybody's, that's going to be a glorious event. And you know how you're about to go down the roller coaster and you get those butterflies in your stomach. It's kind of like that. Every day, you know, am I going to get snatched away in the next few moments? So it's that close, you know. But anyway, God put that in his own power. But I'm steadily looking for him. My thing is, Lord, what can I do now? If I knew he was coming today, I'd be wanting to know, what can I do today that can do make anything better? What can I do? So I try to treat people that way, you know, as I endeavor through life. Any comments? You always have good ones.
I thoroughly enjoyed that there about Isaiah. I mean, that kind of changed my thinking. I appreciate that. I recall making that statement, you know, that, you know, and I meant it from a part of the Lord correcting us, you know, thank God that he corrects us.
Yeah.
And part of the Laodicean church, you know, because I love you, I encourage you. That clears up some stuff in my mind there.
God is good. When you look at the Laodicean church, they got everything going for them. They're in reputation for loving God. They got the works, but they let their love go away. And if the Lord's going to spit them out of his mouth, it's not for nothing. There's something bad wrong. And I saw those examples. You know, when the people came to Jeremiah, they came to him humbly. We'll do whatever you say. I'm saying, man, that's good. For a change, he finally got an audience that want to do right. Because most of the people he talked to, they just turned their nose against him. They put him last. One king said, why do you let Jeremiah, who calls himself a prophet, live? Kill him. They put him in the dungeon. But in the beginning, God gave him his life. He said, nope, you know, he wasn't going to let anybody kill him. But some people, God give them their life, and they're going to face some things. They, you know, and he, but he did it. They didn't recognize him. Daniel recognized him as a prophet, but the people that went into captivity, they never listened to him. And that's just the power of a man's heart when he turns it on whether he loves God, whether he's for or against God. It's a deep-rooted thing. And but to us, it don't look like it, but God knows. I said, man, Lord, you... When the Lord gives you those kind of insights, it's amazing. And it gives you new perspectives.
You know, I've thinking about sharing it this week, but I'm in the future will. But I was, you know, the heart and the Lord dealing with the heart, and I've been staying somehow righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
It plays hand in hand with the heart. And that's why you need to understand our righteousness.
Yeah.
You know, our righteousness is of him.
Mm-hmm.
And crap, look, he's doing the teaching on that, right? About righteousness. And the body of Christ needs to have that understanding so that our hearts will be right.
Yeah.
And that we can praise him in the right manner. Because of righteousness,
it makes
this work.
Yeah. I think it was around 2015 or 16, the Lord started talking about the rapture. And he said, he had me on the radio talking about how God was going to spit out the Laodicean church. And I'm hearing these words come out of my mouth. And I did more study on it. But he said they turned their shoulder because they turned their heart. Mm-hmm. You know, like God is there, they turned their shoulder from it because they turned their heart. Mm-hmm. And if anybody turned their heart, they start doing opposite things. And they put their own will first. They stopped doing the things of God. They stopped doing what make them strong. And they started seeking satisfaction, and it was just downhill. You know, the Lord, he gets people to, he tried to get them to repent. Some people repent and some people get mad at the people trying to get them to repent.
Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Mm-hmm.
Forsake means turning your back on
you. Yeah.
And I'm like tripping out. That's cool.
Yeah, and he'll.
Oh, it's easy to, you know, I don't want to have nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Consequences are not good.
No. And he, I mean, in the period of grace, he will do all that he can to the last, to that point where he can't. And I think, you know, I thank God. It's like this. If a person's left, they should have been left. That's a hard word to say. But that's, if God did it, it should have been. Whatever he do, should it would be. All right, dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all the people who love you. Bless us to be a blessing in this last hour. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.